The moment the man walked into my office, I realized that he was at a point where his agenda had not worked. It's been 25 years, but I can still remember like yesterday. As he came in, he said, "I'm very angry today, and life hasn't worked like I anticipated working." He said, "In fact, I'm angry at everything." And he began to describe his story, began to tell about how he began to look through the lens of evaluation connected to other people versus himself and who the Lord is. He began to process life based in terms that he had defined. And he said, "The truth of the matter is, everything in my world is falling apart. But," he said, "I have what I want to do, and I intend to do it." Well, as he began to share that, I began to think about the fact that what he was really saying was, my agenda is more important than God's agenda. What it is I want to do is more important. And see, what got him to a breaking point was when his wife looked in his eyes and said, "I can no longer live with you. Your agenda does not fit my life." And when you think about that, the power of what it is that we understand God intends to do through us, our agenda. A few months ago, this church family was asked to get in on God's agenda for a little girl battling cancer, whose heart had stopped functioning the right way, whose body was riddled because a rotavirus had attacked her heart. This week, the report, that little Taylor's heart operating at 100%. I want you to think about it. That dad was in on God's agenda, knowing that people were praying for that little girl. This week, being evaluated where she can go back to preschool and get back involved in the Norcross Christian Academy. And when I think about that, I can't wait for the first time she walks in the building. Because what it'll be a testimony to God's agenda. And what I want you to see today is this. All through history, there are people who wanted to do it their way instead of God's way. And as they processed life, they thought, "Well, I can do it my way and it'll all work out." Watch this carefully. You're going to learn this today as you see in God's Word. When we allow our agenda to get ahead of God's agenda, we're always in trouble. So open your Bible to Jeremiah, if you would, just for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 6. You may be saying, "Well, wait a minute now. You're supposed to be preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get there in a moment. Right now, I want to show you something, because I want to show you that all through history, there are those who had their agenda and there was God's agenda. And today, I want to challenge you to think about something. When you think about your own agenda, you have your own to-dos. What if the Lord wiped that slate clean and said, "I have a whole new list of things for you to do"? What would you do? How would you respond? Would you want to hang on to your agenda? Or would you yield to his? Jeremiah chapter 6, we find a very interesting text in which the scripture says the Lord says something. Look at it with me if you would. If you haven't found Jeremiah, he's hanging out near Isaiah and a few other guys in the Old Testament. So hang a left from Hebrews and you'll get there. Look if you would, chapter 6, verse 16. All right? And I don't want you to miss these verses. Perhaps you never contemplated them. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." And notice what they said. "But they said, we will not walk in it." Verse 17, "And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen." I want you to imagine for a moment, they are told very clearly that there is a path that's already beat down for you that you can walk on. It's the pathway of obedience. It's the pathway of discipline. It's the pathway of learning to trust the Lord no matter what. And he said, if you get on this path, this ancient path will take you somewhere you can't go on your own. But what do they say? Bottom line is, they made it real clear, we're not walking in it. And I'll tell you what's interesting. Having been a pastor now, headed towards 40 years, I have met more people who wanted to yield to their own agenda. Thought they could fix their problems, for example, on their own. Thought they could remedy their issues with their own skill set. And listen carefully. The only problem with that is, at some point, you come to the crossroads. And if you're not careful, you'll turn to the right, and God intends for you to go straight. And all of a sudden, you've got your life all messed up. And what happens here is the Lord says, you know what? This is the way you're supposed to walk. But then he says, now listen for that trumpet. And what he was trying to say was, there's always a sound that will take you the right way. You just have to listen for it. You just have to listen. And when you listen to it, something begins to happen inside of you. So today I want to ask you to think about your own journey of faith. Turn back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about your own understanding regarding God's agenda. Because today we look at experiencing God's agenda. What it is He has for it? And I want to ask you, how clearly do you understand God's agenda for your life? Which, by the way, if your life has about 3 or 4 train wrecks, the high probability is that you got on your own agenda at some point and you began to process life that way. And what you discover is when you come to a place where faith becomes the defining factor of your agenda, all of a sudden, some things are just wiped completely out, and you get processing life the way that God intended. So imagine for a moment, you start thinking, okay, now wait a minute. I'm not sure I understand what His agenda is. Maybe He has something for me that I've missed because I've been processing life based in my own terms. And then you're sitting in church today, and you start thinking, now wait a minute. Now, my agenda hasn't worked out real well, but God's agenda is one that can absolutely lead you to be completed, to be perfected in your faith. In other words, to learn how to live out what it is that God intends to do in you. So I want you to think about it. How clearly do I understand it? And by the way, if it's real fuzzy right now, it'll get clearer as we go along. Because I'm going to show you something. When faith is defined properly, living faith is lived out amazingly. And so I want to show you that as we look inside of God's Word. But I want you to think about your own agenda and think about, man, you know what? I messed up there. And I can never forget this. I was only a teenager when I met Cindy, and I'll never forget I had another girlfriend that had been a part of my story, and I'll never forget thinking, which way should I go? And the reality is, what I knew was that there was one who loved Jesus, and I had a feeling in my heart, if she loved Jesus, that'd be the key to everything. And I've discovered over all these years, I was just simply understanding how to get in on God's agenda. And what you discover is this: relationally, spiritually, emotionally, when you're in on His agenda, your life functions much more effectively. And so you may be here sitting about to throw your hands up going, you know what, I don't even have any idea what His agenda is. Well, maybe it all begins with you realizing that looking through the lens of your own issues versus looking at Him to deal with your issues redefines how you process how you deal with life. So think about it for a second. Here you are, and you start saying, okay, wait a minute now. So God's agenda is anchored in one key thing, faith. Faith. And there's its ability, the ability to believe, all right? We're going to see that because the writer of Hebrews, I'll show you that. In fact, if you look at chapter 10, the very last verse, look if you would at that verse, and notice what Scripture said. Verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now think about it for a second. So the writer of Hebrews says something. If you shrink back to your own agenda, the reality is at some point it's going to cost you more than you ever dreamed. But if you yield to God's agenda, then you end up seeing the preservation of your soul. In other words, what he's saying is the story writes really well at the end if you are wise enough not to shrink back. And the idea of shrinking back is this: coming to the place in your journey of faith where you believe you actually have it figured out instead of trusting. And when you get there, if you're not careful, you'll make so many bad decisions that will be decimating to your overall strategy for life. And so if I'm a teenager sitting here, I'm going, wait. If I'm a teenager, I got to say, if God's agenda is my faith, then how powerful, how vibrant, how alive is my faith? Because here's what you discover. You can be in His house but not understand what faith does. And what happens is if we're not careful, we can be around the things of God but never live out who it is God wants us to be. So today I want you to think about that, especially as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Look at it with me and notice what it says. Because without faith, it's impossible. Notice those key words. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Think about that for a moment. It's impossible. Have you ever had anybody say to you, that's impossible? And your first thought was, no, I think it can happen. You may be sitting here saying, you know what, I have an impossible issue on my agenda. I mean, I don't know how it could work. I'm going to tell you, all you have to do, listen carefully, all you have to do is go back to the nursery and look at a little boy named Levi, born into the family of a son that was a part of our journey, who got in on his own agenda and just about died doing it. And look at what happens when a son says, I don't want my agenda anymore. I want God's agenda. Today, I want you to think about it for a moment. What would it be like if all of a sudden your agenda was yielded to such a way that you said, you know, even the impossible. It's interesting. When our son was at the pits of pits, choices beyond anything I could imagine, there were people in this church who believed God, who were in on God's agenda, who said, we will not yield to nothing. We will yield to nothing less than God's sovereign hand at work. And I'm going to tell you, when I look back at that, those are the moments that make me want to worship. Because those are the moments where the faith is vibrant and alive. He says, without faith it's impossible, and you got to see that phrase, to please him. Why do people get in trouble with their own agenda? Because they operate trying to please others. And here's what I want you to see. You have to see this, by the way, as a benchmark to God's agenda. When you live with a priority to please others more than pleasing God, you always yield to the wrong agenda. And there are so many people that think, you know what, if I can just make him happy. Listen carefully. You can't do it in 1,000 years. The only one you better make happy is the one who's going to call you home, who preserves your soul by your faith. Because here's what happened. When all of a sudden you start pleasing him, you get to bless those around you. And something begins to happen inside of your journey of faith. So imagine for a second, you're sitting here and you're going, wait a minute, wait now. So if I have living faith, what does it create in me? Watch this, because it's really interesting. When I have a living faith, my expectations become something that empower me. In other words, I anticipate and expect God to do something. I start saying, Lord, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it now, and you're going to empower me in this amazing way. Let me tell you, that's what I love about being around those who live by faith. Because it's not about what we see, it's about what he sees. And so when you get beyond what you see, life can be amazing. For example, there's not anybody in here that God can't do the impossible with. You just have to be willing to say, you know what? I want to be a man or woman of faith. I want to be a young person that says, this is my faith. I believe this. And what happens is when you start doing that, your expectations, you start saying, Lord, I trust you to do this. I trust you to do that. And listen carefully. If you expect nothing of God and he never shows up, you know why? Because you never wanted him to. But if you all of a sudden say, Lord, I want you to show up in this. I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to ingrain something inside. I was fellowshipping with one of our men right before the service, and I said, would you pray for me? Because there's something that always eats at me. And I just told him what it was, and he laughed really loud. Because it's interesting, we have little things that become big obstacles. You ever had a little thing like that? I mean, just a little thing. It should not be defining of who you are, but it gets there. And it starts getting a hold of you and starts grabbing you. So what I want you to see today is this. When you have a living faith, your expectations, they start empowering you to be something absolutely amazing. Not only that, though, when you have a living faith, you have direction that comes from God that engages you in life. In other words, all of a sudden you start going, man, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to experience that. I want to go after that. Because all of a sudden the directions you get are not confusing signals that don't get you anywhere. They're defining directions that move you towards God's purpose. And what I want you to see today is this. Imagine for a moment you're sitting here and going, all of a sudden, God begins to direct your heart in a particular way. And maybe it's just to cleanse your heart. Maybe it's just at the end of the service to come to the cross to my left and right on there, there's something I want to get rid of that has been grabbing hold of me. And I want the blood of Jesus to take that away. And I want to pin that on the cross. I want to say, Lord, take that out of my life. You see, what happens is when you get a real direction in life and all of a sudden something begins to happen inside of you, it engages your heart. It engages your life. I'll never forget when I felt called to ministry. I thought, how could I ever experience all that God intends? Because I'm not grown up around this. I don't understand. I don't even understand how to be like a preacher. I've grown up on the wrong side of the tracks. And it's interesting, though, because what happened is when I got a direction that came from God, God brought one man into my journey very early on who spoke into my heart for the next 35 years. I mean, spoke into my heart. always loyal, always faithful, always encouraging, always pushing. He never let up pushing. And I thought, you know what? Some of us need to be pushed a little bit so that we end up experiencing what God intends. So if living faith deals with my expectations the right way, but also gives me direction. There's one other thing that living faith does that has real, real profound impact, and it's this. The more I experience a living faith, the more effective I become. And the more effective I become, the more enabled I am to go at it the way God intended. So imagine for a second, you're sitting in church and here all of a sudden you hear me saying to you, wait. Have the right kind of expectation, get in the right direction, and then start getting more effective. Don't you love when you're able to do something real effective in life? I mean, where you go, man, you know, I really put that together. I accomplished that task. And when you do it, what happens? Something begins to happen inside of who you are. Because all of a sudden you go, you know what? He heard me. He moved in my life. He spoke to my heart, and he guided me. The other day I had a guy tell me, he said, you know what? I've never had the Lord tell me anything to do, specifically. Well, I'm sitting there going, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but he tells me stuff all the time to do. Here's the question. It's not what he tells you to do, it's what you do with it. Because just like the people in Jeremiah's day, they were told, you go this way, and you walk this way, and they were told, you live it out this way by listening for this sound. And what we discover sometimes in life is this. When you have a living faith, something begins to happen inside of you. But here's the principle, and here's the key to understanding how to move through all this. And it's not an easy thing to live through. We have to come to the place where we're desperate enough to realize that the only answer is Jesus. And we don't always get desperate very often. We don't always find ourselves in a desperate spot. I was watching the news last night with Cindy, and they were broadcasting people that had been stuck in ice and stuff in different places. And they were in, one lady was, they recorded her, you know, and she said, we were driving along and then realized we were stopped. And then we realized not only were we stopped, but we weren't going anywhere. And then we realized we weren't going anywhere all night. And then I got nervous. And listening to her on the phone, I thought, you know what she's really saying? She's desperate. Listen carefully. There's something worse than an ice storm that sweeps across a part of our land. It's when our hearts are frozen. And we miss God's best. It's when all of a sudden something sweeps across us. And watch this carefully. What freezes our hearts quicker than anything is our own agenda. Because all of a sudden we miss what God has for us. So in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we find an amazing verse. Look at it with me if you would, because notice what he says here. Now faith is, and you ought to circle the word is there, is the assurance of things hoped for. The, and you ought to circle the word the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old, they gained approval. Now, faith, look at this for a moment. He says two things about faith. He talked about assurance and conviction. All right? So let's get this in our mind. If I understand how faith is defined, then I have the potential to understand God's agenda in greater clarity. But if I can't understand what faith is, then I can't get there. Because all of a sudden, I'm operating with faith based in works, for example, that my faith is validated by what I do. And watch this carefully. Your faith is not connected to what you do. What you do is an expression of what he's done in you, what your faith is all about. And so what happens is, all of a sudden, we start understanding how is faith defined. And he uses two very distinctive words that are very similar in the original language. He uses here assurance and conviction, okay? And what I want you to see is this. When you start dealing with defining faith, and I only want you to see two things today, okay? I want you to see when you understand the definition of something, then you can make proper application of it. But if you don't understand the definition of it, you can't ever get there. You ever been around somebody who uses big words you don't understand? And your whole time you're going, and here's what you do when you're in those kind of conversations. This is what I do. And the whole time, you know what I'm doing in the back of my mind? What does that word mean? And what's that word mean? And I used to have a friend, he was a very eloquent speaker, but his words were so profound that you sit there going, and you know what, you see people, they're taking, you know what kind of notes they're taking? They're writing those words down. What's that word mean? And that, what's that word mean? Now we live in a day where you just pick your phone up and Google it, don't you? And say, oh, I'm going to find out what that word means right now. But back in that day, you couldn't do it because it was in another era of time. But what you discover is this, that all of a sudden you start learning the definition of faith, and it does something for you. And he deals with two concepts here. You'll notice the first part of the verse, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The word is here sets in motion one very key concept, and it's this. It's recognition of reality, okay? So here's what the writer's saying. When you understand what it is, when you recognize the reality of it, then you can live it out. But if you don't realize the reality of it, if you don't recognize that, then you always are misled. For example, faith is never centered in religion because religion is centered in what we do. And what you discover is if I'm doing something, I may not be being who God intends me to be. And so the writer says here, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, think about that for a moment. What is he trying to say here? He's trying to say, first of all, hope that is sure. In other words, that it has great, great foundation for our lives. But he's also trying to say to it that when you think about it, there is a certainty beyond any confusing thing that comes at me that God is with me. And that's what my faith begins to do. Now look back, if you would, turn just a couple pages to Hebrews chapter 6. Turn right there just for a second and look at chapter 6. And I want to show you something. I want you to see this in light of how you live your life, okay? Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 9, all right? If you're there, say amen. All right, good. Look, if you would, verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and that accompany, let me start that over. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God, watch this, this is a great verse for you to understand something. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire, look at verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize, watch this phrase, the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now here's, I'm going to look at that verse, and here's what you discover. He says, how do you get sluggish and start losing focus? You start looking the wrong direction, and you start processing life the wrong way. And what the writer says here is, just remember this, God never forgets anything. If you live it out, he'll honor your living it out. He watches over you, he blesses you, he guides you, he does something inside of you. Imagine for a second, have you ever had a day where you were sluggish? I want you to be honest. How many have had a sluggish day at least once this year already? How many of you have had, you've been so focused all year that every day you woke up with dynamite inside of you? You know, you realize, have you ever noticed just a weather forecast can change your temperament? I mean, if you ever noticed, like this week is a good example, when the news comes on, they do 375 different ways to scare you. They'll even say to you, listen, it's snowing in Kentucky. Be careful. Well, you're sitting there. You're in Georgia. But after about the 342nd message, you're thinking, you know, man, I better stay home. I better shut this puppy down. I might walk outside and hit wet pavement. And what happens? Your brain gets so programmed to be sluggish. And then the next day, you wake up in the morning and say, well, you know what? They said it's going to be black ice out there. It's 47 degrees, but there's black ice. And you're sitting there saying, well, it may be warm outside, but I might actually fall and hurt myself. So what happened? You kind of gear it back, and you gear it back a little bit more. And what I want you to see is this. When you gear back, if you're not careful, you lose the agenda God has for you. Because what he's talking about here in Hebrews 6 is not, it's not about black ice. It's about us being on the roadway of God's purpose. And today I want to challenge you to think about that, because if you understand what he says here in Hebrews chapter 11, he makes it clear that defining faith is all centered in our recognition that we can have an assurance. There's something powerful about assurance. And what happens is, he says, but he reinforces it. In fact, if you look at one of the verses, it might be helpful to you. Look, if you would, over at chapter 3, just for a second, Hebrews chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 14, listen to what he says. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, watch this, just because you get introduced to his agenda doesn't mean you actually stay on point with it. It could be that you actually veer off course. And what he says here in chapter 3, same word, by the way, that we find in Hebrews 11. He says, if you get there, all of a sudden, you're a partaker with Christ. And here's what you discover. He's not talking about that you could lose your faith. He's saying you could lose your focus. And what I want you to see is this. If you lose your focus, it's hard to know what God wants you to do. But having the right agenda has an amazing, amazing impact. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. I'm just showing you something, because sometimes you read the Bible, there are themes that carry through an entire book. Look at chapter 1 and notice what he says, verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Exact representation, same word, assurance in our language, when you go back to the original language. It's written, obviously, precisely here, but here's what I want you to see. He is exactly who he said he is. He is the one who knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He's the one who picked you up when you failed. He's the one who guided you after someone misled you. He's the one who gave you peace when you were facing anxiety. He's the one who helped you conquer what it was that was compromised. You know what? I don't live that way anymore. And all of a sudden you became someone who God intended could bless and use. Here's what I want you to see, and I want you to not miss it. When you understand the definition that it is anchored in the recognition of the reality that faith can take you somewhere, something begins to happen. And it begins to give you a living faith. But he doesn't stop there, because he also, in chapter 11, he deals with this whole issue of conviction. Look at it, if you would, the latter part, the next part of that verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, here, watch this. Here is the response of belief that is absolutely essential to be able to carry you through life. And what he says is, you've got to have convictions. You can't let everything shift every time you turn around and expect to have any dynamics of faith. And what happens is, if you're not careful, watch this, convenience can get in the way of conviction. And when convenience becomes a way of life, then God's agenda is set aside, and you say, you know, I don't really want to do that. Now, and you say, you may be sitting here saying, you know what, Pastor, that's never happened to me, not in a million years. Okay? So last week when you woke up and the Bible was on the table, but you didn't read it because you said, I'll read that when it's more convenient, when I have more time. And what happened? You started that whole day without being able to move forward. Now look over back in Psalm 50 for a second. I want to show you something, because this is a product of my focus related to God's Word. And it's interesting because it speaks to exactly how we live out our life. Psalm 50. Hang a left and get there quick. All right? Look if you would. Psalm 50. How many of you are in Psalm 50? How many of you don't know where Psalms is at? Just find it in a minute, all right? Just look around. It's the biggest book in the Bible. I promise you, if you just thumb your Bible 3 times, you'll hit it. Just get there somehow. I'm waiting on you. All right, now I'm done waiting. Look if you would. Psalm 50, verse 15. Notice something. Very, very, very powerful verse. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Now, the 50th Psalm is a parallel of what happens when people do it their way instead of God's way, and they get in trouble. And all of us know when we do it our way, we can end up in real trouble. But we do it God's way, something amazing happens. So what happens is, he makes it very clear, I will rescue you. And the best part of this phrase, this verse is this, you will honor me. Look at the last verse of the text, Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him, watch this, who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, you know, man, those are such encouraging verses. They really speak to me. But I want you to look at one other thing. Look, if you would, at verse 22 just for a second. Because I want to show you what happens when you miss God's agenda completely. This is what the psalmist said. Now, consider this, you who forget God. or I'll tear you in pieces and there will be none to deliver. Now, is that fuzzy for you? Or is that pretty clear? I mean, it kind of says, if you read it, it wouldn't matter what version you're reading. It all says the same thing. If you think your agenda is going to get you somewhere, then you're misunderstanding the reality of who God is. And what he says is this. Everybody has a day of trouble. And we have them, don't we? Days that come at us that we don't anticipate, and they get the best of us if we're not careful. But then we have a conviction that he who began this good work in us will complete it. Have you ever been sluggish and all of a sudden you got on fire because you realized, you know what, I got to step it up? I mean, I don't know if you're watching this. It's so interesting when I watch the news about where all the snow has hit Boston, places like that. There are people out there shoveling snow hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, if you've watched the news, you've seen that. And they're clearing one, they're not clearing somebody else's path. They're clearing their path. They're clearing their path to get out their door, but they can't get anywhere. Because is there too much snow? You can't get anywhere. And every time I watch that, it's what I think about when we get in our agenda. We start clearing everything out. Oh, I'm not going to go to church anymore because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. We clear that out. Then we start saying, well, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore because, man, I just read a verse, you're going to tear me into pieces. And all of a sudden, then we pray through something and it doesn't turn out like our prayer was echoed, and you say, man, the Lord, he didn't hear me at all. He didn't listen to me. Then you hear, who does he honor? The person who chooses to honor him. And what I want you to see is this. When it comes to this whole idea of conviction, how do you live with conviction? You respond by living the truth. In other words, you let the truth be who you are. Because when you live with that kind of conviction, it just hammers home the heart of who God is in your life. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. The truth of this book, it will set you free to experience God's agenda. You get in on it and you get to look at it and say, Lord, what's happening? I have written in my Bible a process I use oftentimes when I'm thinking about the impossible. I start thinking about what's right. Then I think about what's wrong. Then I think about what needs to be fixed. And I start walking through this whole process. And then I come to the last question. What's missing? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. What oftentimes is missing the most in life is faith. The faith to believe. The faith to believe that God can meet you at the point of your need. You may be here today and you may have an economic dynamic. You're saying, Lord, man, I don't know how to get out of this hole. But all of a sudden you start saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to watch you work in an amazing way. We have some kids going to Romania this summer, and they have giant goals of what has to happen financially and all. And I was reading one of the letters from some of the kids this week, and you know what it said to me? God will answer their faith by the faithfulness of God's people. In the days to come, I'll update you on all that. But here's what I want you to see. When a person comes to a place where all of a sudden they are responding by living faith, something begins to happen inside of their life. And that living faith is connected to living the truth. Because the reality is, you live the truth, something happens inside of you. But then he doesn't just stop there, though. He also makes sure that we understand. So he says in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. What did they do? They accepted the invisible reality. That you don't have to see it to believe it. It's like heaven. You think about it for a minute. Anybody here got anybody that's gone to heaven in front of you? A loved one, a mom, a dad, a relative? Do you realize what your perspective about heaven, how it changes when somebody you love goes? I mean, Albie, when your sweet wife went to heaven, it changed your perspective, didn't it? Because all of a sudden, there's a reality to that that is so powerful. Now, can Alvin or anybody else, can they see heaven? No. But they can rest in the assurance of God's word. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that a great thought? Because what happens is this. When our faith connects to the invisible reality that he is with us. Let me give you another example. If you're here, you're waiting on the next job, the next opportunity. And all of a sudden you hear the pastor saying, the invisible reality of your conviction is where God is going to honor you. Sitting in this room is a young lady who last week said to this pastor, pray for me, I have an interview. And I did pray for her, and it's interesting because today, as she hugged me, she said, I got the job. And what I want you to see is this. If you spend your whole life only based on what you see, you'll miss the best things in life. Hang in to the invisible reality that this is it. The God who began a good work in you, he'll complete it. None of us know all the turns that will come, but we do know this. If you stand and look at the ancient past and walk his way, something will happen inside of you. Look at verse 6. Because that's the defining faith, that one that is centered in assurance and conviction. Okay? But look at verse 6 of chapter 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Living faith. I want you to see three very important things as we bring this all together. Living faith. Not a faith that's passed down from somebody else, but the faith of our own lives and heart. Listen, as you look at this, you'll notice he says here, first of all, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The first thing you and I must do is learn how to conquer, and learn how to conquer in an amazing way, the whole idea of the impossible by believing. For example, you may be here saying, you know what, I just don't think that can happen. When you come to a place where you believe that it can, and your faith rests in that, something happens inside of who you are, but you have to conquer it. And so if you're here today and you walk up to me and say, you know what, this is my issue, you're never going to hear me say, you better chunk it in because you ain't going to make that happen. Because you know why? My heart's anchored to the cross. And what I know is this, you can conquer the impossible because Jesus conquered the impossible. He came out of that grave. And when you get that in your mind, you realize he set in motion me having the faith that makes me live out the life God intends for me. Look on though. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. What he's saying here is this. Find the power inside of your own heart. Find the power of faith by believing. I mean, just say, you know what? I want to plug into that power source. I want to experience what it means. And I would say this to you today, because it's interesting. We live in an age of doubt. People doubt so much. What would happen if all of a sudden, you know what? I'm going to believe. I'll be honest with you. I'm believing God for some really big miracles that I'm not going to verbalize at all. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not doubting what he can do. Because I know this. He works in ways that I could never see. But you have to have the power to connect and say, you know what? I want to experience this the way God intended. But then he goes on and says, look at this verse. Not only is he a rewarder of those who believe, but he's also a rewarder of those who seek him. And here's what I want you to see. A living faith adopts a lifestyle of seeking him. Saying, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me respond to this? What steps would you have me take? Where do I go with this? And what I want you to see today is this. Bottom line, God's agenda is always better than yours or mine. It just works better. I mean, if you get in on his agenda, I mean, life is so amazing. I'm telling you, you're looking at the product of somebody who said, I want God's agenda, not my own. Because I knew my agenda would be limited to parameters that are so, so stifling. But his agenda can change the whole world. And what I want you to see today is this. As you think about your own journey of faith, will you come to the place where you start looking at these verses? You know what? By faith. How did Noah do it? How did Abel do it? How did Abraham do it? How did Sarah do it? How did Rahab do it? How did they all do it? By faith. By faith. And what you discover is this. The question is real clear. Will you live his agenda? A living faith. Because if you will, for some of you today, you will come and pin something on that cross and say, you know what? My agenda has got to go. For some of you, you may just have to write on a piece of paper and say, agenda, zero, and put it on a wall. I'm putting it on a cross. For some of you, you're here, and here's what you know. You need to be in a place where you're challenged to live out God's agenda. You need to come home to one heart. If God's speaking to your heart, I want to encourage you that way. And then some of you may be here having never given your heart to Jesus. And you're sitting there saying, you know what, I want to know what God's agenda is. But let me say this, God's agenda starts with your personal faith in Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross so that we could have life and have it abundantly. So today, If you're here and you've never done that, you've never said yes to Jesus, I'm telling you, there is no greater step of faith you'll ever take in your life than say yes to Him. Because when He becomes your story, your agenda is written by Him. And it's an amazing, He's an amazing author. Because you can read the end of the story. There's a day coming, there's no more tears, no more sorrow, nothing. He saw a new heaven, a new earth, and the old things had passed away. So until we get to that point, why not live out His agenda, a living faith, and watch what God does. Let's pray together. Father, bless You for how You work in our lives. Lord, I think about in this room, there's some that just pinning something on the cross will be the beginning of their connecting to Your agenda. For some, they need to become a part of this family, Lord, so that they can be encouraged and loved and nurtured and blessed. For some, they're here and perhaps they've never given their heart to You. And I ask You, Lord, to allow them to see that that's the best step and the most important step they could ever take. Lord, I pray You'd move during these moments. Bless in a special way as we yield to You. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.